Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian. In this episode, we are going to have a reading of one of the chapters out of Superbrain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life. Chapter 1. Why you should care about your brain, your most valuable asset, and why you should know how your nervous system works. Our personal experiences. We are our personal experiences. It has been said that there are three things that nobody can take from you: your experiences, what you have learned, and your memories. In actuality, if you don't have your memory function, you lose your experiences and what you've learned, at least at a conscious level. So, when it comes down to it, who we are our own personal experiences. What family we are born into, the place or places we are born and brought up, what we are named and who raises us, these create the quote, me, the quote, who I am, unquote. When you go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning, if you say your name and describe who you are, it is your memory and experiences that define it. We are a composite of all we have done and learned, who we've met and where we've been, and how we feel about ourselves is strongly influenced by all those memories stored in our brain, as well as the input we have at the moment. Familial influences. Who I am is a composition of many aspects. Personality is a component of who I am. My identity: upbeat, intellectual, dominating, passive, intense, depressed. All are ways we might paint the picture of someone's personality. Sometimes we think of someone's personality as they were just born that way, more of a genetic thing. Other times, we attribute the personality traits to environmental factors: how we pattern after parents or role models, how we dress after fashion trends, or if we rebel against the mainstream. A woman growing up in Japan might have a quiet personality that is oriented around serving others. It is also possible that a thoughtless father, treating her poorly and with disrespect, will result in her turning out with an A-type personality. Instead of being a quiet and docile person, she will be independent, rebellious, and entrepreneurial. Either way, her personality is shaped by her experiences and how those experiences are consolidated and reflected back out by the brain-to-body connection. The relationships we create and grow up into are major determinants about so many things. I was moved to study medicine by the influence of my uncle, father, and even a grandfather. I acquired an ability, if my personality so moved me in the moment, to talk to total strangers in lines. Why in line is it so much easier than other locations? Because of my mother's influence and proclivities. My older boy cousin was a role model who I patterned after also in so many ways, enhancing my pleasure in building things, camping, and even shunning a career as a surgeon. Digging into your own past, I'm sure that you will see behavioral traits you picked up from adults, parents, older siblings. People talk about that all the time, especially spouses talking about their parents' influences. That is, if they have parents. At any rate, the experiences we have influence who we are, and our brain is the recorder. And conduit and conductor of our sometimes puppet-like behavior born of experiences. External sensory input. Our brain is a sensory input interpreter, an analyzer and interpreter. Nerves pick up on information from inside and outside the body. The nerves connect into and with the brain. Our five primary senses are sight, hearing, smell, touching, and tasting. Each sensory avenue influences the brain in different areas and in different ways. The auditory aspect of sensory understanding of the world can be divided into structured language and music. Each has different influences on the brain and our emotions and intelligence. The voices we hear, with their emotional content, before birth, are those we are most influenced by at a deep survival level. This is because the survival brain, the brainstem functions, are most predominant at this stage of our development. Thus, when born, we are most attuned to our mother's and father's voices, or attuned to some other voices that we hear a lot. Music also creates an influence on our brain function in utero, and then later in life. Music has a certain structure, as do voices in a particular language. Learning new languages and listening to music, sometimes in deliberate combination, is a key way to improve brain health and the quality of our life. Listening to the sound of nature, when in nature, is also important to enhance brain clarity and efficiency. The diversity of voices and music from pre-birth and into later life is a way to maximize brain function, innovation, and creativity. Memory is also profoundly improved by this. Languages. Learning two or more languages when young is shown to increase the ability of the brain to learn new things more easily. Learning several languages, even later in life, also has brain-maximizing effects that can also enhance one's work and money-generating capabilities. In utero, the variety and diversity and sound environment your mother was in has a significant influence on the survival brain. Easy and safe environment of the mother helps the child to start out with less stress responses, at least initially in life. If the mother is in dire straits with insufficient nutrition and external survival issues, the child will start out life with more physiological, survival-based stress responses. Over time, an underlying anxiety versus certainty can be seen in the behavioral patterns. So trying to create a safer, nutrition-rich pregnancy is certainly the ideal to enhance brain function. Of course, it doesn't mean that those born in very stressful environments can't overcome the deep-seated psychological stress responses hardwired more deeply in their nervous system. It just means that it needs to be discovered and recognized and remedial action taken as soon as possible. ASAP. Nerve cell plasticity is a flexible aspect and yet a rigidifying aspect too, which resists change. Your brain generates electrical waves. Brain researchers have found that our brains emit electrical currents, also called brain waves, that can be measured in both strength and wavelength. Light energies of different colors have different wavelengths. Blue is shorter, red is longer. Similarly, different states of physical consciousness have different corresponding dominant wavelength and frequency ranges. They are simply labeled alpha, beta, theta, delta, and gamma, but others have been elucidated as well. The wavelengths vary from less than 1 to 32 plus hertz. Hertz is a measure of frequency. The first waveforms discovered were called alpha. They were found from meditators, people praying, daydreaming, almost being asleep. A chart of the different wave frequencies are listed on the chart below. Chart of brain waves and correspondences with states of mind. Age-predominant brain wave patterns. It was discovered that in general, the predominant wave frequency in a person's life is the one corresponding to their age during development. 12 to 24 hertz brain waves corresponding to your brain's conscious facilities. Wavelength of this type are more and more able to do more complicated tasks, and this brainwave pattern starts the maturation process predominantly from ages 12 going to age 24. Thus, educational theory would design lessons based on this cognitive ability, with education in various subjects introduced gradually so the nervous system is capable of meeting the task at hand. The development of emotional responses also parallels this process. Although the correspondence of particular emotions and particular intellectual abilities is not exclusive to particular frequencies. For example, learning several languages contiguously is probably easier in the earlier years of life than in later years. This is in spite of the general idea that the higher cortical wavelength and functions of language are less dominant at an early age of human development. So exactly how emotions are linked to particular wavelength ranges is not well understood. On the other hand, the brainstem emotions, survival emotions, are thought to be simpler and less subtle, like hunger, pain, and sexual desire. These are lower frequency wavelength associated feelings. Not to confuse them with lower level or less important feelings. Education and success. Whether a child likes or hates education at an early age may influence their ability to maximize their brain function. Some education systems and schools are more rigid and regimented than others. If a child doesn't fit into the standard mold of educational development, that child might be considered distracted, a problem student, a disruptor of other students' learning, etc. That child might hate school, and that can delay their ability to develop certain skills, like reading comprehension, until much later in life as an adult, or maybe not at all. Mike McQueen, author of a book on how to get boys to read, has told me that this was the case for him. Oppositely, a 16-year-old friend in Charleston, South Carolina, quit school, studied on her own, and started college at age 15, prior to a car accident. The car accident made major memory difficulties, although she made much faster recovery time from some physical limitations than anticipated by the use of acupuncture, massage, herbs, homeopathy, and mirror technologies taught to her by her neurologist. As infants and toddlers, we are just developing our verbal skills. When we are exposed to language environments, we learn the patterns of speech, hearing, and grammar necessary to communicate verbally with others around us. Our need to express our needs, desires, and observations drives us to try out these new sounds on others as soon as possible. Typically, following just the sounds of crying, cooing, farting, and other hard-to-discern sounds of something around age 1 to 2, our communication becomes clearer and understandable by those close to us and then by others. This process and ability follows and is dependent upon our brain changes, as well as those of our vocal apparatus, of lungs, larynx, tongue, mouth, jaws, etc. The blank slate. At our earliest and most formative years, the sensation impressions from the outside world are imprinting upon a fairly untainted and open slate. The memories we layer on our developing nervous system and general body form a foundation for how we operate in the world for the rest of our life. Just like an operating system of a computer, the underlying matrix of our nervous system that starts with basic survival skills like eating, sleeping, walking, moving, and digesting. Built on top of that is layered language, math, special, auditory, and kinesthetic and feeling differentiated skills. Memorization of certain songs, poems, rhymes, and rhythms begin here, and thus this is a great time to teach children fundamental memory patterns, such as the alphabet if speaking English, or the languages with an alphabet, like written structure and basic math facts like addition, subtraction, multiplication, and the division facts. The progression from more simple to more complex in education is based on understanding the developing and progressing ability of children to learn and remember. Childhood experiences are varied anew. Every moment is unique and time seems to last forever. All of the sounds, sights, feelings, and emotions with taste and smell stimulate all parts of our body and nervous system. Having a broad availability of experiences creates a whole brain activation that sets us up for the ability to see details and get the big picture perspectives in later years. This early life diffuse spreading of related sensations to parts of the brain and body, all related to particular and unique experiences, results in an integration of different parts of the body and brain. This integration helps us in later life to recall and access information under stress that may have been the difference between life and death. Promoting such integrative experiences early on puts a child on the fast track to success in the future. Problem solving. Problem solving is a fundamental skill set that each of us have intrinsically and also develops over time. As children, we constantly have to figure out how to do new things, sometimes on our own and sometimes with the help of others. Being engaged in the process of problem solving stimulates many parts of the brain, sensory and muscle motor nerve activity as well. Children getting lots of this type of varied stimulation develop innovative skills and are more creative in solving problems in the future as adults. All parts of the body are involved in this process, and the amount of new stimulation occurring overloads the memory processes of the brain. Thus, conscious, readable, or reliable memory is diminished, while unconscious pattern traits are laid down for survival purposes. Thus, patterned sensory and motor nerves are the foundation for higher and more complex activities carried out as adults, like complex sports and manual skills. The fun experience during these simple activities leads to fun in the future. Frustration overcome by persistence as a child often leads to perseverance in complex and perplexing tasks as an adult. Proper nutrition and low sugar is a key element here. While this integration of sensory and motor input occurs in the context of individual activity and emotions, the involvement of other humans or animals is a key ingredient that assists in innovation. Why might this be? The feeling of inseparability of oneself from the outside world, the world beyond our skin, is intrinsic at birth. The reality of inseparability never really leaves us, as it is a fundamental fact of human and earthly life. While we may develop a sense of me versus other as we age and are educated in various cultural settings, it is an artifact of culture when it results in individual recognition for achievement in life. No one is born in and of themselves. No one spontaneously creates one's own food and sustenance, and no one creates or invents a totally new language or innovation. In spite of societal recognition in the form of patterns and individual recognition of words, who would be there to create the recognition of the individual? Individual effort and neural patterns and emotional responses are a collective phenomenon. It is well that each of us remembers that on a daily basis. Locking our experiences into our brain over the course of our life starts out as organic process. We are born just taking in what we take in life. But humans have discovered more sophisticated and effective ways to capture our experiences, so they last and can be shared with others and remembered for reflection and learning. Telling the story of what we've been through to others is the basis of storytelling, sharing, and the building of myth, legend, and culture. Verbal recitation predates written language, and our brains and bodies are well designed for this behavior. In the next segment, we will go on with part 2 of chapter 1. To buy your copy of Superbrain, Maximize Your Brain Health for a Better Life, go to superbrain-thebook.com. That's superbrain-thebook.com. Information can also be found on naturalsolutionswithdrj.com.